Okay, committee members, please take your seats. Dave Preble. Hey, attention, everybody. We're going to get going again. Okay, welcome back, everybody. Thank you for a very productive morning. We're going to shift gears into a presentation from Tom on the TMGC overview and a preliminary discussion on the 2013 ABCs.
So at the last committee meeting in August, I gave a little overview of the track status reports for Eastern Georges Bank Cod, Eastern Georges Bank Haddock, and Georges Bank Yellowtail Flounder. Since the August committee meeting, the Transboundary Management Guidance Committee has met, and they've developed their recommendations for U.S.-Canada quotas for those two management units and the Georges Bank Yellowtail Flounder stock. The recommendations of the TMGC will be provided to the council next week, and the council will vote on them and decide to accept them, presumably. So this is just an effort to give the Groundfish Committee a heads up on what they are and see if there's any discussion or any recommendations the committee wants to bring forward. There are three management units. With respect to Eastern Georges Bank Cod, the TMGC recommendation is for a 600 metric ton quota for this stock. I think this is about a 75-ton drop from last year, where it's 675 metric tons. The U.S. share declines to 16%, meaning the U.S. share in the eastern U.S. Canada area will be 16 metric tons for fishing year 2013 if this is approved. The basis for this is that this is the average of the neutral risk of exceeding FREF based on row-adjusted catches. So this is perhaps an opportunity to point out something that's true for both Eastern Georges Cod and Eastern Georges Haddock. If you remember from the August meeting, there's both of those assessments have some problems with a retrospective pattern. Assigning the catches without making, in the past, we have not taken the retrospective pattern into account when determining the catch levels. And that, as a result, and part of that, we have not successfully reduced fishing mortality before the reference point ever on either Eastern Georges Bank Cod or Georges Bank Yellowtail Flounder. So in somewhat of a rather major change, the TMGC this time around for two stocks is explicitly taking into account the retrospective pattern. In the case of Eastern Georges Cod, we have two assessment models. And 600 metric tons is roughly the average of the neutral risk of exceeding FREF based on those two models, based on the row-adjusted catches that come out of the two models. There's a lengthier discussion of that in the guidance document, which is included in the mailing. Eastern Georges Bank Haddock, the proposed quota is 10,400 metric tons. This assessment does not have a retrospective pattern, so this is not adjusted. This stock is in good shape. This is a neutral risk of exceeding FREF. The U.S. share is just under 4,000 metric tons. Our share of the stock is 38%, which is a little bit lower than what our share was last year. I think it was 43%. I say last year, I mean 2012. I think it was 43% in 2012. Of note on Eastern Georges Bank Haddock is that an initial estimate of the 2010 year class indicates that this may be the largest year class on record, exceeding the 2003 year class and the 1963 year class. In addition, the year class after that, initial indications are that it is above average. This is, I think, the first time, perhaps in the time series, where we've had two large year classes back-to-back like this. Now, granted, those initial estimates are always subject to uncertainty. They always tend to get reduced as we go forward, but even so, they're both pretty large. Based on that, we would expect to start to see the Eastern Georgia's Bank haddock quota start to increase rapidly. It'll probably go up a little bit in 2014, but then in 2015, it will probably go up a lot. Georgia's Bank yellowtail flounder. The recommendation for Georgia's Bank yellowtail flounder is 500 metric tons. The U.S. share is 43%, which means we would get 215 metric tons if this share is adopted. Once again, this is an assessment which has a retrospective pattern, which is fairly large. This takes into account, to some extent, the retro pattern. It is lower than the neutral risk of exceeding FREF. That's the language in the track document because that's the information they had in front of them. The reality is that under the unadjusted assessment, this is a very low catch based on the unadjusted assessment, but with a retro adjustment, this partially accounts for the retrospective pattern. It may not entirely account for the retrospective pattern, which is the language that's in the document. I don't know if you want to take any questions on these three recommendations. As I said, the TMGC chair will bring them forward at the council meeting next week.
Yeah, thank you, Tom. Are there any questions on the TMGC? Dave.
Tom, just you mentioned the guidance document for Georgia's Bank haddock. Eastern Georgia's Bank haddock indicates that we can expect, because of this year class you just referenced, 2010 year class, significant discarding on the U.S. side, not on the Canadian side, but on the U.S. side. So it says in the document under special considerations. What would define significant discarding? I look in the table for significant discarding. I look back in the table to see what happened. We think shortly after that great year class, 2003 year class, and it didn't seem like there was a jump up in discarding that one would say is, in a subjective way, alarming. Anything come out of this this particular assessment and TMGC review that would suggest that we would have far more discarding than what we witnessed since, let's say, 2003, shown in that guidance document? How concerned should we be about that, and should that trigger some sort of management change on our part?
Well, going back in time a little bit to the 2003 year class, if you recall, I think it was in, I might have my year off by a year, but I believe it was in 2006 that we started to encounter, when those fish were roughly 3 years old, we started to encounter a large amount of discards in the Georgia's Bank haddock fishery. They were large enough that a number of people came forward to the council, and eventually, probably not in 2006, but I think in 2007 or a little later than that, the council made a management change and changed the minimum size for Georgia's haddock by, I believe, an inch, down to 18 inches, in part to try and convert some of those discards to landings. I think if you go back and look at the U.S. catch around that time frame, my recollection is that discards were about 40 or maybe 50% of the U.S. catch, primarily due to undersized sublegal fish. So it was right around the 2006-2007 time period. If you look in the assessment document this year, the Canadians were quick to point out that the U.S. actually discarded a relatively large amount of age one fish in 2011, which kind of caught the attention of the Canadians because they don't appear to discard as many small fish as we do. And so, yes, I think it is a concern. Some of those fish are going to be, our experience has been that they grow slower, but there's going to be so many of them that they're going to be encountered and clog up the nets. They could be on the, I can look up the predicted growth rates. My recollection is that in 2013, they'll be 3 years old. I want to say they're, the median size is probably going to be around 12 or 14 inches. But I can look it up if you want to know the exact size they're going to be. Of course, there'll be some on either side of that median size, but we would expect, based on what we saw with the 2003 year class, that a lot of that will be discarded. Now, the difference, of course, this time around is that In 2006, it was an effort control system, and there was really no penalty for discarding fish of that size. Under sectors, if they discard those fish, it'll count against their ACE, and they won't get any value of it. Now, we do have some management options in the framework document. We have two options, I think, for changing the minimum fish size at haddock, which would require retention of those fish rather than discard.
Erlen.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. For Tom, maybe I missed this, but I think you said that last year the U.S. got 42% of the Eastern Georgia's Bank paddock, and this year we're getting 38%, and maybe that was embedded in the last explanation you gave, but what was the reason for the reduction?
Under the sharing agreement, the distribution to the two countries is based on two factors. Landings history, which is a landings history over a fixed time period. I want to say it's like 1963 to 1996, it's something like that. And then resource distribution as measured by three surveys, our spring and fall survey and the Canadian spring survey. And so each year, landings history accounts for only 10% of it now. It's a very small portion of the formula, so it's primarily based on resource distribution. Each year, we evaluate the resource distribution by the surveys. We put a smoother through it, and that determines what our share is. So, in essence, that's a long answer, but it boils down to the resource surveys found more fish on the Canadian side of the line than on our side of the line, and that's why it declined.
Dave.
Question is the SSC going to give a presentation on this, or is this? I mean, I have a lot of questions about the cod and the yellowtail, some of the adjustments, if you want to call them, that have been applied to these, but I don't think this is the forum to really ask them. So that's why I was wondering if Chris or somebody's going to come discuss this.
Well, yes, but let me explain a little bit. The SSC will give a presentation because they will recommend their ABCs. And included in that presentation will be their recommendation of ABCs for Georgia's Bank Yellowtail. Yes, because the SSC does not discuss Eastern Georgia's Bank Cod or Eastern Georgia's Bank Haddock because those are not stocks, those are management units. Loretta O'Brien, however, will be there to present an overview of the stock status reports from the track or the track assessments of Eastern Georgia's Bank Cod, Eastern Georgia's Bank Haddock, and Georgia's Bank Yellowtail Flounder. So I think, if I remember the agenda, I think Chris gives the SSC report on Wednesday, and I believe Loretta gives the track report Wednesday afternoon late, followed by the TMGC report. But I don't have the agenda in front of me. I'm going on memory here.
Okay, well, if I could get a message to maybe probably Loretta, if she could explain, there's a number of, they call them adjustments, that have been applied to both cod and yellowtail, you know, split M2, split M5, split M2 row adjusted, split M5 row adjusted in cod, and then in yellowtail, I think they got different names. Split series row adjusted, single series row adjusted, catch multiplied by 5 for years 2005, natural mortality multiplied by 4.5 years to 2005 to 2011, catch multiplied by 3.5 and natural mortality multiplied by 2.5. I basically want to know why they picked whichever one of those adjustments and consider that to be the most reasonable or the best projection of what's out there, because it's not really in the document that we have here.
Yeah, Dave, I'm just looking at the next week's agenda, and on Wednesday morning, Chris is going to give a presentation from the SSC. In the afternoon, our Loretta's report and Rip's report, and then the Groundfish Committee discussion is on Thursday.
Okay, well, like I said, we could just get a message to them so they're prepared to answer the question, and I don't like to blindside people, but it's a pretty complicated question.
Thanks for the heads up. Other questions for Tom? Jim?
I guess more of a comment than a question. Dave asked about discards, and if you look at 2006 and 2007 in the eastern area, our discards were equal to our landings. You know, that's the three-year-old fish, and three-year-old fish are around 15 to 16% inches, not 12. And the Canadians pointed out in this meeting that we are already discarding the 2010 year class at a seemingly high rate. The reason they don't have discards of the 2010 year class is they bring them in. In fact, I just in Canada 2 weeks ago went to the plants and they're already filleting them. They're already making jobs out of the fish that we're dumping overboard dead. The other issue why we have more discards, why we catch smaller fish at times than they do, is we're using the wrong mesh. They're using the right mesh. They're using roughly 5 1/4 inch square mesh throughout. We're using 6-inch diamond. 6-inch diamond is the wrong mesh to target haddock, right? It just doesn't work. We let adult haddock go and retain small haddock. So there's a huge issue here, and it's coming at us now. We are discarding fish right now at high rates. And, you know, you'll see it in the data next year, but I can give you the anecdotal information that it's happening right now. So I think you need to, you know, really think about this as you develop the measures that you've been talking about, that this is a major problem. We dealt with it last time. We were late dealing with it by lowering the size. These fish are out there, and just, again, anecdotally, we seem to think they're growing a little faster, actually, than the 2003 year class. You know, I have the captains and the crew do measurements, and I've had the observers do measurements, and right now they're averaging about 15 inches. So that would indicate a higher rate of growth. I don't know why, but they seem to be growing a little faster, which is a positive thing, but it's not when you're going to have discards hitting you hard. I would suspect, we're seeing it now. I would suspect by next May it's going to be very heavy at the beginning of next year and through the summer. So more of a comment. Sorry, Mr. Chairman, that it wasn't a question, but it had come up, you know.
Appreciate your insight. Other comments or questions from the audience? Vito?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We're just curious if it would be appropriate at all. We were thinking about maybe asking the committee and even the council to consider a discussion about asking the Canadians about a one-time trade of up to 60 ton of yellowtail for whatever amount of haddock. I know they've expressed some interest that they would, in the spirit of showing that there's a possibility of helping each other out, that they would accept haddock even if they don't need it per se. So I'm wondering, it isn't something that we thought was a great idea for the TMGC members to be burdened with making those big decisions of allocation that have, you know, serious implications to all the fishermen that hold different stocks in the U.S. side. But if it came from the council, it would go through a public process and people would have the opportunity to comment on it and it would be transparent. So I think this is a one-off type of idea, and I do believe that there's a potential that the Canadians would be in that situation. It's just my thinking it might not be a waste of time to see if there's an amount of haddock to offer for some yellowtail.
Well, you and Tom and I, having attended the TMGC meeting, are all aware, and Sarah as well, that this is one of the issues that's on the intersessional agenda in January. But, we'll leave it up to the committee to see how they feel about your thoughts. Well, you try again next week, Vito. Other thoughts or comments about TMGC? Okay, Tom, the ABCs.
So just want to give the committee a heads up. The SSC has met 3 times over the course of this year, and they have prepared the recommendations for ABCs for fishing year 2013 through 2015 for most stocks. That report will be delivered to the council next week, and you can ask any questions you want, but we thought it worthwhile. We've already taken and plugged in the ABCs into our spreadsheet, and if you look in the draft Framework 48 document that we circulated, there's a table which shows the resulting ACLs for 2013. I would point out that there's an errata sheet floating around that makes a correction to a couple of the values that are in the version that's in your mailer, so make sure you're looking at the right one. I want to point out that those values are preliminary. There may be some minor changes to, first off, the council has to approve the ABCs, but second, as we review what happened in fishing year 2011, there may be minor changes to how much we set aside for buffers for management uncertainty, for example. There may be changes based on what we need to set aside for state waters, fisheries, and that type of thing. We don't have all those numbers done yet. So basically, the table that we have assumes that none of those things change from last year, and some of them might. So in the presentation, what I've done is we've put together the fishing year 2010 and 2011 catches by the groundfish fishery alone. And this is catch, landings and discards, by commercial groundfish, which includes sectors and common pool, and in the case of cotton, Gulf of Maine cotton haddock, recreational fishery, and pollock as well. So this is the groundfish catch. And what we've done is we've compared it to the groundfish ACL for all the stocks, so you can get a sense of what the changes are likely to be next year. I think if you look at it, there's roughly 8 or 9 stocks where there's actually a little bit of an increase. There's 5 or 6 stocks where there's a pretty big decrease. There's 1 stock, George's Cod, where we haven't figured it out yet, and I'm ignoring, in that count, the stocks like windowpane that you're not allowed to retain anyway. So this just gives you an idea of what some of the ACLs are bound to look like. There are a lot of options in there. If you look at Gulf of Maine cod, for example, there's 2 numbers in the table for fishing year 2013. That's because this document is putting in a range. We won't know what the actual value is until the benchmark assessment is completed in December. There's no range yet for Georgia's Bank cod. I've been trying to work with a center to get a reasonable range to make sure that I have numbers that kind of make sense. If you recall Framework 48, the number on the high end didn't make any sense at all, so we're trying to avoid that this time. And we're trying to work with the center to get a better number on cod. I might have that by the council meeting. I might not. With George's yellowtail flounder, I've got 2 numbers in this table. These are a little bit of a guess to some extent. The committee is considering 2 options for how to allocate yellowtail flounder to the scallop fishery. One of those is a specific amount, 8% of the ABC, so we can calculate that one. The other one is based on what the scallop fishery is expected to catch. That number hasn't been calculated yet, so what I've got in here is just kind of a guess at what that might be. These will all be ironed out over the next month or so by November. So this is the first group. The next page will show you the remainder of the stocks. This is available on our webpage, and there were handouts over there. They may all be taken already. I don't know if there's any specific questions on these. These are all based off either the updated assessments. As I said, the SSC will tell you their rationale for the ABCs for these stocks next week. I don't have the SSC report, so I can't really get into that. And anyway, it's probably more appropriate to ask them anyway.
Thanks. I thank Tom. I mean, these tables certainly underscore your earlier slide expecting low ACLs for 2013. Are there any questions from the committee? Dr. Pierce.
Well, not so much a question, but a comment and a suggestion. Yes, indeed, we really can't dig into these yet. We haven't got the presentation from the SSC regarding the recommendations on the ABCs, which are not recommendations. I mean, they're pretty much the way it needs to be. However, I would suggest to the chair that this committee, not right now, but certainly in the very near future, especially after we get the recommendations from the SSC, put some thought into how we would define a bycatch fishery only, how it would be operational. Obviously, we're toying with the idea more than ever before. I'm kind of used to that in states' waters, dealing with ASMFC regulations for fluke, for example. For winter fishery is supposed to be a bycatch-only fishery. A certain percentage is supposed to be bycatch-only. Good luck with that. So we need to figure it out as best we can. What is the definition of a bycatch fishery? How is it operational for Georgia's Bank Yellowtail Flounder specifically, since I think that's going to be their recommendation? It should be a bycatch-only fishery. That's going to be a real challenge, especially in the context of our opening up closed areas on Georgia's Bank. Not so much, because it's yellowtail has caught large amounts outside the closed area. But anyways, we don't want to pretend that we have a bycatch fishery only when actually it's not a bycatch fishery only, but it's being taken in large amounts and discarded over the side, assuming they can find the yellowtail. So that's just a suggestion that we need to consider putting that on the agenda as a topic for us to really get into, and not just for Georgia's Bank Yellowtail, but perhaps for some of these other stocks as well. Gulf of Maine Cod, another example, depending upon the assessment, which I suspect is still going to give us some pessimistic results.
Yeah, thank you for that suggestion. I kind of anticipated that thought process moving forward after we receive Chris's report next week, and unless things change between the SSE meeting in Boston and their final report. The bycatch fishery for yellowtail, Georgia's fishery, is one of the recommendations. Tom, then Dave, then Sue. Tom, then Dave.
Having seen the early versions of that report or hearing what came out of that meeting, I'm not sure it's entirely appropriate for the SSC to recommend any management. I think they set the number, and we decide how to manage to that number. So I certainly, you know, we'll get the report, we'll listen to it, but I think in the future we need to be very clear with what we expect out of the SSC and what we expect back. I think it's very much our responsibility to figure out how we're going to manage within the scientifically set numbers that the SSC has established. So I want to just put on the record my kind of concern, and I was a little confused by that recommendation coming out of that body. And we'll have a longer conversation about it, I think, at the council.
Thanks, Tom. I suspect we will. Dave.
I have a couple questions. One is on Southern New England winter flounder. That's currently a zero possession species, and yet the groundfish ACL is projected here to rise to 337 tons. And I'm looking at, you know, from years back, Gulf of Maine winter flounder, which was an allocated species, was at 106 tons, as an example. I want to know, you know, why we shouldn't be allocating and bringing in Southern New England winter flounder at this point. That's one question. And the other question is on Gulf of Maine haddock, it looks like it goes from 677 to 261. And, again, anecdotally, I'm hearing from the party boats that they're discarding numerous sublegal haddock at the moment. And it appears that we've got a major recruitment event in the Gulf of Maine, and we may be set to set a record low tack at a time when a stock is increasing exponentially and have a huge discard event occur. So I think we've got a few issues here that somebody's going to have to explain.
Well, I can hazard an answer to the Southern New England Mid-Atlantic winter flounder one. So we went to zero possession in Amendment 16, and I think last year when we were working on accountability measures, the plan development team suggested that you know, with Southern New England winter flounder, we can allocate that stock. We can calculate PSCs because there have been people that caught it in the past. So the Groundfish PDT's suggestion was to allocate that stock to sectors and let them fish it just like under sector rules, and that takes care of the accountability measure issue for that stock. The Groundfish Committee discussed that. I think eventually the discussion actually got to the council. And while there was some interest in it at first last year, that interest faded when the groundfish sub-ACL was smaller than some people expected it was going to be. And it was smaller than some people expected it was going to be because we had to allow for catches from state waters. And so when it became smaller, a lot of the people who were at first in favor of making it an allocated stock and catching it, their support kind of evaporated because they felt that the number would be small and that for many sectors it would turn into another stock that would constrain their activity. And so it was not turned into an allocated stock. I think if you were to ask the Groundfish PDT again, we would still recommend turning it into an allocated stock because right now what we're doing is, you know, we're going to have some sort of Southern New England, Mid-Atlantic, winter flounder area-based accountability measure that nobody likes. And so, you know, our opinion is that a better approach is the PDT's opinion has been anyway, we haven't asked that question recently, but it has in the past been that a better approach is allocate it, let the sectors figure out how to avoid it and fish within their limits. But the sectors were very concerned it would be a constraining stock and would prevent them fishing. And I think that's why the council didn't adopt it.
I think your summary is correct, then. But I don't see 337 as constraining as the number last year. And I want to ask the chair, when would be the appropriate time to make a motion to make Southern New England winter flounder an allocated stock?
I'd like to hold that till after next week's council meeting.
Okay.
Get our full report, and we do have two more committee meetings between now and the final our final action in November. So I think maybe the next meeting in October 11th, I believe it is. Dr. Pierce.
Yeah, just a clarification. In the table, not the one on the screen, although it's related to the one on the screen, in the erratum sheet, the 9/18/2012 option 2 revised annual catch limit specifications, I go to Gulf of Maine cod, and I see a range, 750 to 4,000 for the USABC, and then I see zero for 2014 across the board. So is that correct? Or is that supposed to be an empty bar? With nothing designated at this time?
That should be an empty box like it is for the other ones. I'm not implying that 4,000 leads to zero the next year. We will have to revisit the 14, 15, and 16 numbers after we get the benchmark assessment. We have to redo assuming it's still overfished under the benchmark assessment, we'll have to redo the rebuilding plan, and we'll calculate those forward. So I'll delete the zeros so as not to give you any heart attacks.
Committee members? Audience, have any questions? Ron.
It's Ron Smallis, Fishery Survival Fund. Just a question. What would it take to consider managing both northern and southern windowpane as a single stock? I mean, I find it very hard to believe that a windowpane I catch in Delmarva is related to one in the south channel, but the one in the south channel is not related to the one in the north side of the channel. It would seem that we'd be minimizing a lot of, you still can manage by area, but you end up reducing your ACLs and everything else. You still, what would it take to consider that?
I think it would take, at a minimum, a benchmark assessment of both stocks at the same time, which would then have to reconsider stock structure. And you'd actually have to do that in the reverse way. You'd have to have some kind of decision to revisit the stock structure and then lead to a benchmark. We have, at times in the past, combined them, but the center seems into one series of meetings, but the center seems to be splitting those issues up lately.
So, but it would be a recommendation from, let's say, the council to the Science Center to look at that?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, there's no windowpane flounder benchmark scheduled for the next 2 or 3 years. So you'd have to raise that issue. It'd have to get through the NRCC and be put on the agenda and scheduled and the whole bit. And you're probably right. The way to kick that off would be for the council to direct their NRCC reps to proceed that way.
Other audience members? Dr. Pierce?
Yeah, I'm sorry to raise my hand again, but I'm wondering, an excellent workshop was held not too long ago regarding stock structure. GMRI and others were involved in it, and a great paper was put together describing the conclusions of that workshop and you know, the findings as to whether or not we do have two separate stocks, Georges Bank and Gulf of Maine. My question is, and I asked Tom to get into the crystal ball game that he sometimes plays, very effectively, by the way, Tom. Is it possible that by 2014 we may be able to incorporate some of this information that has been brought forward? Revelations, let's say, regarding what the true stock structure of cod may be in the New England area, especially in the Gulf of Maine. Do we have any, has the plan development team focused on this at all? Is there any anticipation for when those results would be used so we would have a more meaningful assessment of Gulf of Maine cod in particular?
The easy answer is the PDT hasn't thought 2 nanoseconds about that as a PDT. So the SSC prepared a plan for how to revisit the Gulf of Maine cod stock structure, and I think it was a three-phase plan. And phase one really was to have this first meeting that was held. And the meeting was, the meeting came forward with some recommendations for some next steps to finish phase one. And I have not yet heard when those next steps or how those next steps are going to be pursued. Now, both Dave and I were on the steering committee for that first meeting. I don't know if you've heard anything about the second steps. So I think the question really should be directed to the Science Center next week, which is, you know, the steering committee coming out of that meeting made a recommendation for how to move forward, and I don't know where we're at with that. But the Science Center was supposed to be running that evolution, so I think that's a legitimate question to ask Dr. Weinberg next week is, okay, this report's been out for about 2 months now anyway, since July, and when are we going to hear what the next step is? Now, having said that, I mean, I think those next steps would have to happen fairly quickly for any changes to be incorporated into management by 2014. I think they could be incorporated into assessments by then, but to get them into management by 2014 would be a big undertaking.
Dave.
Yeah, to that point, the current assessment is at least looking at the results of that. They had a workshop, I think it was the last week of August, and that was on the list of topics to be looked at for one of the days. I think it was August 28th. I don't know what the results were.
Other committee comments, questions? Tom's given us permission to take lunch. Let's take an hour and a quarter and try to be back here by 1:25.